It's indeed my great pleasure to join in Brother Keith and welcome you here all this beautiful Lord's Day. Indeed, to God be the glory, great things He hath done. We're so grateful to serve the Almighty God, who has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I'm thankful for the confidence that you all have shown in me in asking me to fill in for Brother John while he's away. I enjoy every opportunity that I have. As we study through the Old Testament, we realize that being a Jew, being the chosen people of God, required a lot more than just keeping the Ten Commandments, required a lot more than just serving God. There were things that they were to do yearly. There were things that they were to do monthly. Weekly, they were to keep the Sabbath. And there were things that they were to do daily. We talked about that a little bit today with the priests and the Levites. But today, there's a lot more to being a Christian than being here every service that you can be and reading a few pages from the Bible. It requires a daily commitment to serving God. At the end of this lesson, we'll extend the invitation, the Lord's invitation, for you to come and make that commitment to follow after Jesus and be a disciple of His. And this isn't a commitment that you make one day a year. This isn't something that you commit to do once a month or once a week. It's not just a commitment on Sundays to come here and to serve God, but it's a commitment to serve Him every day for the rest of your life. That's what I want to speak about this morning, is some daily responsibilities of Christians. Some things that we as Christians are to do daily in our walk with Christ. First thing I want to examine this morning is the fact that we're to pray daily. When Jesus gave the model prayer to His disciples in Matthew chapter 6, He said, "Give us this day our daily bread." When we pray to God, we ask Him for things. We do it one day at a time. We must seek to speak with God, to communicate with God daily, and request our daily bread. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 17, we're commanded to pray without ceasing. That is to pray continually. To continually go to God in prayer and to ask Him the things that we may need, and to ask in faith. We have some great examples of those who went to God in prayer in the Bible, in both the Old and New Testament. We've just been studying, this is the 10th lesson that we've talked about, the kingship of David. And he was one of the greatest men that we read about. The Bible speaks so much about him. But one of the things that I've always been moved by David is his prayer habits. We have the book of Psalms that many of the Psalms refer to David's prayers unto God, that he continually prayed to God. In the 86th Psalm, in verses 1 through 3, David said, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant who trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord." Notice this in verse 3. "For I cry unto thee daily." We see that David asked the Lord to hear him. He said, "I am poor and needy." He realized his condition as a man. He realized that he needed the Lord to protect him, and it says he cried unto him daily. And again, in the 55th Psalm, beginning in verse 16, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." We see again David praying unto the Lord. He said, "I will call unto God," and he had full faith that God would save me, he said in verse 16. We see him praying three times a day, at evening, and in the morning, and at noon. And he knew that the Lord would hear my voice, he said in verse 17. Another example in the Old Testament is that of Daniel, who we see in Daniel chapter 6 that he would pray to God three times a day upon his knees, with his window being open toward Jerusalem. That he was not afraid to serve God. He was not afraid to pray to God. That he risked his own life in continuing to pray to God. We have the great example of Christ in the New Testament, who often would draw himself away from the people and be secluded and go to prayer in God. He would pray so hard at times that his blood would be his sweat drops. That the Son of God saw the importance of communicating with God. That prayer, when we realize what prayer is, when we realize that prayer is our opportunity to talk to God, We ought to take advantage of that, and we ought to pray daily. But in a like manner, we ought to search the Scriptures daily. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, we have two groups of Christians who are examined here. In Acts chapter 17 and in verse 11. Acts chapter 17 and in verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And we see why it was that the Bereans were more noble or more fair-minded than those at Thessalonica. It was the fact that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So we see here that there's these two group of Christians. These were both our brethren. But the ones in Berea, they received the word with readiness of mind. They searched the Scriptures daily to see whether the things that they were hearing were so. And when I stand before you, or when Brother John stands before you, or when Brother Daryl or others here stand before you, we don't want you to accept what we say because we're standing behind this pulpit. We don't want you to believe and to obey what we say because you have confidence in us as men. But we want you to search the Scriptures daily. We want you to examine what the Word of God says and see if it's true. This is why so many in the world today are erring. This is why so many today stray away from God. Because they begin to believe what men say. They begin to accept what their preacher tells them. And they don't search the Scriptures daily. I mentioned with prayer that it's our opportunity to speak with God. But studying the Scriptures is our opportunity for God to talk to us. God has given us His will in the Word of God. And we need to search that daily to see what it is that God would have us to do to be pleasing unto Him. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in Paul writing to young Timothy, he mentions several things that are characteristics of Christians. Several things that describe what Christians are. And one of those is that Christians are workmen. And as part of that, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 15, study or be diligent to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study God's word continually to be a workman, that we need not to be ashamed, and that we may rightly divide the word of truth and know what it is that God would have us to do. And when we make the comparison of physical bread to spiritual bread, we talked in the prayer, in the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11, when Jesus said to pray like this, give us this day our daily bread. We read in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 when Jesus is being tempted of the devil. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When we make this comparison of physical bread and spiritual bread, we realize that we would not go a day without physical food. We would not willingly go a day without nourishing our bodies. But how much more so, as our spiritual bodies, ought we to fill our minds continually, daily, with God's Word, with the bread of life. You see that there are those who lack food that they will do anything to get their hands on the Word of God, or rather on physical food. But we as Christians ought to be the same way. We ought to strive to nourish ourselves daily with the Word of God and not starve ourselves. You wouldn't go and eat physical food 2 days a week or 1 day a week. But oftentimes that's the only time that we open our Bible and read, is when we're here on the Lord's Day or on a midweek Bible study. We need to search the Scriptures daily. But another thing we're to do daily, we read in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 13. The verse before this, verse 12, says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But notice what he says here in verse 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We're to exhort one another daily. We're to do this while it's called today. We do this in many ways. We encourage and comfort and strengthen one another. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, we see the early Christians continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, and to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. One way in which we exhort one another is that we continue daily, that we worship daily, that we study daily. It says they continued in the temple daily, and breaking bread from house to house. They were in other Christians' homes, and they exhorted one another. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 and 25, we're familiar with verse 25 that says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but notice what it says in verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke them unto love and to good works. That's one way in which we exhort one another. And it says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. That we cannot exhort one another, we cannot lift each other up if we're not here. We cannot provoke one another to love and good works if we're not here assembling ourselves together. But it takes more than just assembling on Sundays. It takes more than just assembling on midweek Bible studies. But we need to continue daily with one another. We need to spend time encouraging and comforting one another daily. We need to weep with those who weep. And we need to rejoice with those who rejoice. And notice the song next to the invitation song, number 9, A Beautiful Life. We see some of the things that we need to do daily as Christians to lift each other up. It says, each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. To be a child of God each day, my light must shine along the way. I'll sing His praise while ages roll and strive to help some troubled soul. The only life I will endure is one that's kind and good and pure. And so for God I'll take my stand, each day I'll lend a helping hand. I'll help someone in time of need and journey on with rapid speed. I'll help the sick and poor and weak, and words of kindness to them speak, kind words I'll speak. While going down life's weary road, I'll try to lift some traveler's load. I'll try to turn the night to day, make flowers bloom along the way, the lonely way. We need to do these things daily to one another. We need to daily exhort one another to encourage and comfort and strengthen ourselves, that we may not fall away, that we may not be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Along with this, we must teach and preach daily. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, where we see the apostles daily in the temple and in every house. They cease not to teach and to preach Christ Jesus. Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, we have that great example of the apostles, that they daily taught and they daily preached Christ. But I want you to notice the context of that verse. I want you to notice what had happened just before we read this. Beginning in verse 40 with me, if you would, of Acts chapter 5. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Christ. We see that they were just beaten, that they were told not to speak any longer of Christ. But they rejoiced at this. They were happy. They were excited that they were able to suffer for Christ's name. And they continued daily teaching and preaching. We find Jesus teaching daily in the temple in Matthew chapter 26 and again in Mark chapter 14 and verse 49. That he was the great example that from a very young age, he was in the temple teaching. We need to have that same attitude today. We need to take every advantage and every opportunity that we have to teach and to preach Christ. It seems today that every little thing keeps us from speaking to those. You know, we say they might laugh at me, they might not accept me. But it's not about them accepting us, it's about them accepting the gospel. And we need to have the same attitude of the apostles, that nothing will keep us from daily teaching and preaching Christ Jesus. But finally, one more thing that we must do daily as Christians. We read of in Luke chapter 9. Come with me if you would to Luke the 9th chapter in verse 23. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And this is Jesus speaking. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We need to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. God doesn't just ask us to give up certain things. He doesn't ask us to give up certain things that we enjoy. He doesn't ask us to give up certain things during one season of the year. But He asks us to give ourselves entirely to Him. that we are to deny ourselves and follow after Him. In the verses following, and beginning in verse 24, "For whoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my word, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father and of the holy angels." We see that we need to deny ourselves, that we need to give ourselves entirely to God. But we realize also that we need to give up those things of the world. It says here in verse 25, "For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?" We're more familiar probably with what we read in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26 in the same section of Scripture. It says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and shall lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" When we realize the value of our soul, when we realize that our eternal salvation hangs in the balance, it's not so hard to deny ourselves. It's not so hard to take up our cross and follow after Christ. But we realize that we will lose it all if we gain the world. It says that if we lose our own soul and gain the world, then we profit nothing. We need to stop being so focused on worldly things, so focused on our job, so focused on school, so focused on recreation and sports, and devote our lives, deny ourselves, and follow after Christ. Read of this again in the book of Romans chapter 12. Turn with me if you would to Romans, the 12th chapter, beginning in verse 1. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That when we deny ourselves, we are to be a living sacrifice unto God, holy, acceptable, and it says, which is our reasonable service. We need to have the same attitude as Paul in Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 20, when he said, "Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." When we realize what God has done for us, what Christ has done for us, we see that it is our reasonable service, that it is our reasonable service to deny ourselves, and that Christ liveth in us because we're crucified with Him. We're about to sing the invitation song number 10. It says, "All to Jesus I surrender." That we need to give ourselves entirely to God. It goes on to say, "Worldly pleasures all forsaken." Not worldly pleasures mostly forsaken, but we need to forsake all worldly pleasures and follow after Christ. And again in the song it says, "Make me wholly thine. Make me entirely thine." Sadly, there are too many who love the world too much to follow after God completely. There are too many who cannot let go of these worldly things to follow after God and deny themselves. There are too many that don't want to be wholly Christ's, but only partly His. But you cannot have both. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 17. We read, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." When we put on Christ in baptism, we bury that old man. We bury the man who was caught up in the things of the world. And we're made new. These old things are passed away. They need to have no bearing on us. But we need to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow after Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. We read, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We need to daily serve Christ. We need to always be abounding. We need to be unmovable. We need not to be movable. We need to always be abounding. We need to no longer be as children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, as we read in Ephesians chapter 4. and in verse 14. Reminding me of something that we read back in the book of Deuteronomy. Come with me if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 13 and begin. In verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 13, beginning in verse 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast known, nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare him, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. That when a family member or a friend comes to you and says, let's leave the church, let's leave God, let's follow after these things that are in the world, let's have some fun. The Old Testament said that they shall surely kill him. It said, thy hand shall be the first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones, and that he die. Because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness that is among you. That when we serve Christ daily, that this will no longer be a temptation, that we will not be those who are carried about by every wind of doctrine, but will be steadfast, unmovable, will always abound in the work of the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 18, after the victory on Mount Carmel, we see Elijah saying to the people, how long halt ye between the two opinions? He asked them, who will I serve? Who do I want to serve? Do I want to serve God or do I want to serve man? Do I want to serve money? We read in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 that we cannot serve two masters, that we cannot serve God in this world, that we cannot serve God in riches. Come with me if you would to Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon, or God and riches, as some translations read. That we must make up our decision. Elijah asked the people. He says, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. We see that they answered him not a word. That their silence answered the question for them. And there may be some today who cannot answer this question, for they cannot make up their mind if they want to serve God or if they want to serve themselves or the world or any other thing. So how long will you falter between the two opinions? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Will you commit to daily serving God? And will you seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, as we read in Matthew chapter 6? We realize that being a Christian isn't something that you commit to once a year or once a month. It's not something you commit to once a week. But it's something that you commit to daily serving God, to waking up each day and putting on the whole armor of God, that ye may be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, as we read in Ephesians in chapter 6. We're going to sing the invitation song. We ask if there's those who need to put on Christ in baptism. If there's those who have not yet decided to serve God, will you choose this day to follow after Him? Will you believe His word and His truth? Will you turn from your sins, repent of them? Will you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And will you put on Christ in baptism to begin your walk with Him, to arise a new man and put off that old man? Will you make that commitment to daily serve God, to daily follow after Christ, to daily do these things and more that we can read about in this volume that we have? And maybe it is that you've begun your walk with Christ, but you haven't been doing these things daily. Maybe you've faltered in your commitment to God. You've failed to pray daily and to study your Bible daily. You've failed to exhort one another daily or to teach and to preach daily. Or you've failed to deny yourself fully and take up your cross and follow Him. If that be the case and you have sinned of a public nature, we ask that you would come forward, that we may pray for you, that you may get your life back on track with God. If you have either of those needs, we beg of you at this time, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.